Well, I hope, again, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving week, and there's so much, we have so much to be thankful for, and it, many times we feel grateful for someone or things, but we don't always remember to express it, and I want to talk about that this morning. Gratitude changes everything. It changes our lives. It changes the way we think. It changes our actions. And it can change our relationships. And so there are things that I'm grateful for. And I tell the Lord probably, I would say every other day. Because some days I forget, right? But I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful. I walk into this building and I'm just like, God, thank you for this building. And then, of course, I start thanking him for you, for you people who, whether you've been here 5 years or 60 years, 52 years, I'm thankful for this place of worship and the wonderful people like you. I thank the Lord for my family daily, and I thank God probably, I would say probably more than I thank my family or more than I thank you. And so I want to kind of get to that this morning is gratitude is more than just a feeling. It's a feeling, but it's also something that is expressed. Lord, we pray for your word to speak to us. We pray for our hearts to be open. And then may we apply what you've told us this morning to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So the definition of gratitude. Gratitude, thankfulness, or gratefulness comes from the Latin word gratus. It's a feeling of appreciation felt by and or similar positive response shown by the recipient of kindness, gifts, help, favors, and other types of generosity to the giver of said gifts. So in other words, it is a feeling and a positive response expressed to the giver. So we may feel grateful for a person for what they've done, always remember to tell them. And so what can happen when we are grateful? A grateful heart can change one's perspective and it can change your relationships for the better. Gratitude is meant to be expressed in action. We have a epidemic of negativity in our world, right? I mean, life stinks. You've heard people say that. Things are getting worse. Inflation is higher than ever before. Our government is corrupt. Our families are falling apart. Schools are indoctrinating our kids. Churches struggle with numbers, and suicide is at a huge percentage, higher than ever before. Now, those are true. Some of those are getting worse. However, a lot of things in this world would probably be better, our life would be better, if we all expressed gratitude to God and to others for those gifts that God has given us. That if we were grateful, not just the feeling, but if we were grateful to the people and to God for the gifts that we have, then I think life would be a little bit better. Maybe a lot better. And I wonder, how many of you would be like me? You don't want to be negative, but if we were honest, we might find we are negative more often than not. So, you get tired of the negativity in the world. I do too. And yet, sometimes I have that critical spirit or that negativity going on in my life, complaining tends to become an art form. And some people will argue that it could be a spiritual gift to complain. You know, it's not really, but they can find anything to complain about. Now, the weather is beautiful today, but the weather changes, and we complain about that at times. It's too wet, it's too dry, it's too cold, it's too hot. And so we're kind of finicky people, aren't we? We kind of get to the place where we don't like this or that. We complain about almost everything. How about driving? How many of you honestly can say that you are above average driver in this room? Right? You're above average, and yet everybody else out there on the road is below average or worse, right? You agree? So we get into that mode, you know, that idiot is too fast, they're too slow, they're tailgating me, they drive me crazy. And I know a few people in this room that drive a lot. And so you probably know some bad drivers out there. And the honest truth is there are. And yet, what if we thanked God for them? What if we prayed for them? I don't know. Maybe just an idea. It's difficult. But perhaps there are reasons why you're not getting to where you're going, and God is in charge of that. There are two different types of birds. There's the hummingbird, and then there's the buzzard. And both of those birds are seeking after something every single day. The buzzard is looking for, you know, dead things, stinky things, things to devour that are not very sweet smelling or whatever. But the hummingbird, what does the hummingbird look for every single day? Something sweet to eat. And so I would propose that when we are being grateful, we have less time to be ingrateful, to be ungrateful, if we are more grateful than the other. Proverbs 11:27 says, if you search for good, you will find good. You will find goodwill. You will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. It says in that translation, but evil comes to him who searches for it. So if you're going to look for good, you're going to find good. If you look for bad, you're going to find bad. So the optimist considers their cup, if their cup is overflowing and it's running over, their perspective is God is blessing me. Even if the cup is empty, an optimist is like, God is blessing me. The pessimist, when the cup is overflowing, the perspective is there's going to be a mess to clean up, right? So this is not psychological self-talk into a positive stance of a theological belief. This is philosophical belief. This is important. So write it down or even consider thinking about this, remembering this. I am not optimistic based on what I feel. I am optimistic based on what God says. I am not optimistic based on what I feel. I'm optimistic based on what God says. And so his promises never fail. And he fulfills those promises. And so his word holds truth. And so, you know, we tend to lean towards the pessimist or towards the negative. And so I'm not optimistic just because by nature I just feel like everything's going to get better just because I happen to show up and it's going to get better. I'm not optimistic based on my feeling, but I'm optimistic based on a truth. God's truth. It's amazing how blessed we can be and yet how ungrateful we often are. So gratitude makes you thankful. Gratitude makes you a generous person. Gratitude makes your relationships better. So I want God to transform my heart from one that is entitled to one that is grateful, more grateful. The tragedy is many people, they never experience the true heart of gratitude. And so in today's story, in Luke 17, we're going to see a short story of where 10 people, 10 lepers, are sick. Jesus comes, he heals them, and 9 out of 10 of them do not show their gratitude. Now, I wonder if that's a statistic today, that 1 out of 10 people express their gratitude. I just made that up. It's not, maybe not a statistic that's true, but it sounded good. Luke 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So in the Old Testament, when you read Leviticus, Leviticus 13, in 14, whatever, it teaches us what a leper had to do. And there's a lot of details, and I would say you would want to do it maybe not during lunchtime. In fact, I was reading Leviticus and realizing that the priests, like doctors, they had to inspect the disease and determine if it was just a skin, you know, rash or a disease. And I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm a pastor today. I don't have to do the doctor stuff. And then they have to determine if the person was clean or unclean. And so these lepers had to, they had to do certain things. They had to tear off their clothes so that people would see, like from the distance, that they had leprosy. They had to close their mouth. They didn't have masks like we do. Maybe they had scarves or cloth that they put around their faces. And they had to yell out if someone was approaching them, "Unclean, unclean." Yeah, right? A leper would have this pressure of doing all that, and then this rejection, this feeling of rejection. And on top of that, they'd have these sores, and they would be disgusting sores, and they would lose the feeling in their bodies, their fingers and their toes, and some little critters would come and chew on them at night, and they would lose. Yeah, it's kind of gross. And so they had all these things against them, and then they had rejection. And it was devastating. It wasn't 14 days of isolation. It was years. Years of isolation. Having no personal relationships, having no one to hug. And so when they see Jesus, who is the healer, and they know and have this hope that they can possibly be healed, they cry out to Jesus saying, "Master, have mercy on us, and would you heal us?" And it's interesting to see, we're not going to go into all the details of the faith and what happened in obedience, but take note that they obeyed and did what Jesus told them before they were healed. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, in those days, when you're sick, or when you have a disease, when you have a broken leg and it's healed or whatever, you were supposed to go to the priest, like I said, and the priest was supposed to inspect and see if you are really healed or if you do have a disease or not. And so they obeyed. They followed through with what Jesus told them to do. And as they were doing that, they were cleansed. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. I think there's a definite distinction here of who was a Samaritan. And maybe there were others that were not in the group, I'm guessing. Jesus, verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. He believed. 10 lives were miraculously transformed. I'm talking, they had no hope. They were isolated for years. They had they did not have a normal life. They lived out in the wilderness. And only one out of the 10 came back with a heart of gratitude, with gratefulness. Now, those other 9 could have been grateful. But they didn't express it to Jesus. They did go to the priest. But it's very clear that they were not expressing their gratitude. And so how do we remember? How do we express our gratitude? And why is it so important? Well, number one, there's 3 today that I'm going to give you. Number one is gratitude changes our perspective. When you are grateful, your perspective shifts. You have less time to be ungrateful or ingrateful. And in James 1:17, it tells us, and this is a perspective shift. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So our perspective is, where does this all come from? It comes from above. It comes from God. It's nothing that we've done. He has given us every good and perfect gift. And so when we remember that, and we are grateful for that, and we express it, our perspective changes. And when you look through the list of, and there's multiple lists, but when you look through the list in scriptures, and you see how God has provided Israelites that they needed food, and God provided manna, and he provided water, and he provided fire at night. And we know that God, the stone for David, the stones for David to kill the enemy, Goliath, the enemy. And God gave Jonah a fish to swallow him, which wasn't a very nice thing, but it was the best thing for him, to take him to shore safely. And think about Mary. She's this teenage girl, and her faith, because of her faith, she said, yes, I'll obey. I will do what you say. And she was able to give birth to the Savior of the world. And you could go on and on. God gave the wise men a star to lead them. God gives you and I supernatural when we are struggling with worry and anxiety. But we can receive that when we ask. God gives us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to convict us, to guide us, to counsel us. He gives us his word to give us understanding and enlightenment into this life. And God gives you friends to love you and for you to love them back. And he gives us a life, breath, as Dave said, to breathe in and breathe out on a daily basis, to glorify him with. And so every good thing we have comes from God. Amen? And so we need to understand that God is completely good. He is constantly good. He is unchanging good. God will never be not good. God cannot be less than good. Everything our God does is good. And when we embrace this, that everything that we have is a gift from God, it changes our attitude. It changes our behavior. It changes life. And so instead of an attitude of entitlement, we embrace an attitude of gratitude that overflows into other positive attributes in our lives. I think of this song all the time. Sheryl Crow sang this song, and this Soak Up the Sun, 1994, maybe, I don't know. But it's this title, and I'll let you hear it first. Exactly. It's realizing that everything you have, whether they're things or gifts from the Lord, is everything you should be thankful for, not necessarily what you don't have, right? I thought of this every year. We get the paper, we've got the ads, we've got the Black Friday ads, and I thought, what would it be like if we opened up the paper and it showed us everything that we had, and it showed us all the people we have in our lives, and we'd be like, I'm grateful for this. Wouldn't it be cool? Now, I'm not poo-pooing going and buying gifts on Black Friday or anything like that. But embracing and remembering and being thankful and grateful for the things that we already have. Wanting what we have and not what we don't have. Ecclesiastes 6, 7 through 9, I'll give you the ninth verse. Better what the eyes see than the roving of the appetite. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So better is what is in front of you than that which you are longing for. It's better to embrace what God has given you than to always want something more. And so whenever we adopt this attitude of gratitude, this gratitude turns whatever we have into enough. And what's crazy to think is that it's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Right? Grateful people. When you are grateful, you are happier because you are remembering what you do have. Do you have a job? Do you have shoes? Do you have a car? Do you have a phone? Do you have a bed to sleep in at night? There's a lot of things that we can be grateful for. And do you have friends? Do you have family? And so, thinking about that, if you ever get a chance to go overseas, to go to a third world country, a undeveloped country or whatever, Emily and I went to the DR and it was a great experience. You can't explain it. You just have to experience it. And when you go and experience people's lives and they know Jesus and they are at peace and they're happy and joyful and they have very little, you begin to realize that everything you have is nothing compared to what they have, because they've found this internal gratitude for what God has given them. And so gratitude turns what you have into enough. It changes your perspective. It changes my perspective. And so recognize every good gift comes from above. It comes from God. And so don't let those desires, those wants to rob you of what you already have, those gifts that God has given you. Paul talks about this in Philippians 4. verse 11 through 13, he says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so the Apostle Paul got to a place where he knew what it was like to be in need, and he knew what it was like to be to have plenty, and he was content no matter what. He was joyful and grateful. And he knew that he had Christ, and that was all he needed. That Christ is all you need. And if you come to that place where you realize that, strip away everything, Christ is it. You don't need anything else. He's the only one that satisfies. He's the only one that matters. And he is the only one that you need. So I'm going to choose to be grateful, even when the rest of the world is negative. And so when people feel entitled, I'm going to choose gratitude instead of being entitled. Every good gift comes from God. Okay, second thing. So gratitude changes your perspective. Gratitude changes your actions, my actions, what we do. Turn every blessing, turn every gift into praise. Why? Because why is that so important? Because somebody said that every time we don't turn a blessing back into a praise, it turns into pride. When we don't acknowledge where it comes from, it begins to turn into pride. For instance, I deserved that. Or I earned that. Or I should have more. God should have given me better. I did all that. I'm the better person than all of them. You see where that goes? I deserve more. Instead, it should be, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The only thing that changed was my perspective. And then, of course, your actions are changed from there. Here's an exercise that you could do sometimes, is think about everything that you have. Let's just say you have a job today. And just imagine that you lose your job tomorrow. Or you have family members and you lose a family member because of cancer. Or your health is you lose your health and you get a disease. And just think about those things. And then all of a sudden, the next morning, you get them back. You'd be pretty grateful, right? You'd be grateful because you have a job. You have your health back. You'd be grateful because you got your loved one back. And so that's the perspective, is when we realize that the gifts come from the Lord and that they are good and perfect gifts, and that if we lost them all, we would be more grateful. We would realize that we were grateful. So let's be grateful in the midst of it. And thank the Lord for our family. And thank the Lord for our cars and our houses and our jobs. When the rest of the world wants to tear everything down, this isn't good enough, blah, blah, blah. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. This is the time for us to be grateful. This is the time for us to worship and praise the Lord no matter what. I experience this when there's bad customer service. I just want to ream somebody out. And yet on the other side of that phone call is a person, is a human being. And a person made in the image of God. And so when we recognize it, when we recognize those good things, we act differently. Turn every blessing that we have back into praise to our God, because He is worthy of our praise. This is what David said and did in Psalms 100. He acted it out. He praised the Lord. He said to us, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There is so much in there of action. Come into his courts, worship him, praise him, thank him, serve him, because he is worthy. And so when we are grateful, it changes our perspective, it changes our actions, and it also can change our relationships. God changes our perspective, and he changes and helps us change our actions. But then what happens is, in our relationships, sometimes our relationships are not going deep enough. They're not being worked on. They're actually sometimes broken, and they fall apart. And I think sometimes when we are grateful, it can benefit our relationships versus when we are ungrateful. And sometimes I don't think we realize it. But when we are ungrateful, it can damage our relationships. And so expressing gratitude, the third thing is, gratitude changes my relationships. And so when I express gratitude, it helps the relationship. It helps the other person realize that they are important, that they are seen, that they are cared about and loved. But when we withhold gratitude, it actually can create a gap between in our relationships. In fact, ingratitude can sometimes sting, can't it? Have you ever had a boss that has not realized your potential and not thanked you for it? Have you ever done something, and now I'm not trying to be self-centered necessarily here and say you should be out there wanting everybody to give you accolades. But what I am saying is, if you can put yourself in the other person's shoes and realize that when somebody is ingrateful or ungrateful for you, not showing, expressing gratitude towards you, that doesn't feel good, does it? It can sting. And it can communicate that you are not recognized for your effort, that you are not recognized for your sacrifice. And so when you think about gratitude, gratitude is not neutral. If you and I are not grateful, typically what happens? We become ungrateful. We start complaining about the other person. There's an opposite to the gratitude, and that is ingratitude. There's this expectation and this, I have earned, I deserve. It's not self-centered in this situation. It's just nobody has realized it, and that hurts. And in some ways, it seems a little childish if we have to go tell someone, hey, I did this. Right? I mean, it's not something that we should be doing. And to tell the person, you didn't say thank you, or now I know that we do that for our kids. We tell them, now say thank you, because we're trying to train them to be grateful. But as an adult, we don't do that, right? It just doesn't fit. And so it can hurt. And so feeling that hurt and that sting of someone who has been ungrateful towards you, think about other people. Have you been grateful or ingrateful to them? It's ingrateful is not a thing. It's a lack of a thing. It's more of a lack of thing, but it doesn't always come packaged in silence. or a lack of response sometimes. Ingratitude is actually expressed verbally. You've been in this situation. You do something for somebody else. Instead of saying thank you, they explain that, well, you didn't do it right. Or that you chose the wrong color. Or mostly, in most cases, ingratitude is an absence of words, an absence of recognition, or something that you have done that deserves recognition. And sometimes somebody has been ungrateful, and it is obvious to us, and it is completely invisible to them. And they are unaware. And so what happens is our lack of gratitude can create a gap in our relationships. All that the other person can see is a lack of gratitude. But we can't see it at all. We're clueless, which is obvious to the other party, which in the moment creates that pain. And so the recipient always is aware, but the culprit is rarely aware. Think about this. Isn't it easier to extend generosity to grateful people? Like, that person has been grateful to me, and I'm going to be grateful to them. But somebody who has shown us ingratitude, it's harder to be grateful for them. And so when we are not grateful, we actually could be accidentally leaving a negative mark on our relationships. Are there people you have written off or stopped hanging with because of their lack of towards you? Perhaps. Maybe you just don't want to be around them as much because they're not grateful. Have you ever heard someone say, this might have been a situation where you've heard someone say, I'm going to be a few minutes late, but they as I'm important. And they can take, you know, a few minutes for that would be ingratitude. That would be taking for granted somebody, taking people for granted. They owe me. Have you ever been accused of being ungrateful? Well, if you're like me, a lot of times in my past, you know, I'm better today, right? I get defensive because somebody might say, well, you're just not feeling grateful. Or you're just not expressing it. But I feel grateful for the person. And so they should know that, right? And so somebody says, I don't feel like you're grateful. I think you take me for granted. And we immediately get defensive. And we're like, oh no. We feel like they're judging us. And we get defensive because we think, hey, how could you possibly know how I feel? Which, of course, is the point. They don't know how we feel. They just know how they feel. And they feel unappreciated. And so when we are not grateful, perhaps somebody is not feeling loved. When we are not expressing that. And so we think, well, they should just automatically know that I'm grateful. That doesn't happen. It's not true. And so in life, our hearts actually gravitate towards recognition and gratitude. It's not a decision, it's a response. And it's really an experience that should be expressed. I can remember time has notes and gone around the house and put sticky notes up and hid them. And they weren't romantic. They were just, hey, you are doing a great job at this. And in fact, I have probably a half dozen of them still sticking where they were left. So in my, medicine cabinet, I open it up and it says something in there that, hey, you're doing a great job. whatever it says exactly. I'm not going to share that, but it's like, hey, you're doing a great job. We are more inclined to do a great job next time, aren't we? And when we are recognized and when we are encouraged. And so the same thing is for other people in your life. When you encourage them, when you recognize them, they feel loved and cherished. And so think about the other person, how they should be treated, because that's the way you've been treated. So in our relationships, don't let anyone outgrateful you. Make it a competition. Be the most grateful person in your loved one's life. In fact, be the most grateful person in your enemy's life. Because humans gravitate towards recognition and gratitude. Show gratitude to those in your life that are difficult and needy and grumpy. God has commanded us to do this. 1 Thessalonians, we'll end with this verse and then I have a video. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love this video. I've shown it before. I could watch it again and again because it's such a clear picture of what Christ has asked us to do, not in a fake way, but in an authentic way. And that is to validate people. That is to encourage people. That is to be grateful for people. And so I want you to watch this 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes of a 16-minute video. But you get the first 2 minutes, you get the glimpse of what it means to validate.
You are awesome.
Excuse me?
You have an amazing face. You got powerful features, man. Anyone ever tell you that?
No.
And listen, you look a little down. And it may seem like sometimes people don't understand you. But someday, man, someday, people are gonna see you for what you really are.
You really think so?
Absolutely. You are great.
Need a validation, please?
You are great, ma'am. You have amazing cheekbones.
Really?
Sir, yes. We have a situation.
Where?
What the hell's going on?
You've been through it. You know. You've had so much life experience that other people don't appreciate, but you know.
Bless you, dear.
They're not patronizing the shops. They're just coming to see him.
Oh, sir. You're in great shape. You work out?
Not for long.
I do, actually. A bit. Yeah. Thanks.
Are running a business here, not a social club.
That is a fantastic suit. It really flatters you.
You think so?
You guys work so hard. You are the backbone that keeps this place running.
I always felt like no one really appreciated us.
Yeah, I mean, our jobs are so stressful. It seems like most of the times people just don't see it.
No, what you do is so important.
What you do is so important. encouraging others, remembering that people are gifts from God. And He has called us to be grateful for those gifts, even the enemies, even the grumpy ones. So let me pray for you and for me. Father, thank you for this scripture, this story of these 10 lepers that were healed, and the one came back grateful. Lord, help us to be grateful for not just the things that you've given us, but for the people you've given to us. The people that we work with, the people that we rub shoulders with and run into at the grocery store, and the people that we drive next to on the highways. And Lord, thank you for the people that are above us as our bosses and below us as our peons. Well, let's just call them our employees or whatever. We know that you love them, and we pray that you would help us to express our gratitude to you and to others. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. So be it.